Colossians chapter 3. We're going to be looking at just one verse tonight, but here in Colossians chapter 3. So far in Colossians 3, we have noted that God has challenged us to seek those things which are above, set our affection on things above. Then he commanded us to put to death our filthy, lustful sins. And then that was in verse 5. And then down in verse 8 and 9, he tells us, it commands us to put off the social sins of anger and abusive talk and all those kind of things. And then in verses 12 and 13 and 14, he tells us there that we're to put on the spiritual clothes, or spiritual virtues, really, is what they are. Things like kindness and love and forgiveness and all those. Then, now when, you know, he gets to this point where he's dealt with all those things, and now when someone irritates or hurts us, we face a very strong contest. There's a very strong battle within us. How are we going to respond? You know, maybe it's your friend, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your parent, maybe it's your teacher, maybe it's a coach or a sports, you know, person, whatever the case may be, but they do something that irritates. How are we going to respond? And our flesh pulls us towards social sins, you know, to get angry or to react violently or say something nasty and unkind. And our spirit may pull us toward the spiritual virtues, to be kind and do right. But there's a battle there. There's a battle. There's a contest between our flesh and our spirit. And the Bible talks a lot about this battle between the flesh and the spirit. Paul talked a lot about that in Romans 6 and 7, the battle between the two parts of our spiritual being. And here he says in verse number 15, he says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." He tells us here that we need the peace of God to rule in our hearts. We're going to look at tonight at this passage tonight here and see what he's teaching us here that can be of help to us. He's given us actually two commands. The first command there is, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The second command is to be thankful. All right, so both of those are imperatives, they're commands that God gives us. Let's take a look at that first one. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The first thing yet we need to do is, what is peace? You know, we talk a lot about peace. We sang about peace. We had a little bit of quiz about peace. You know, what do we mean by peace? What's peace? And as you think about peace, peace actually refers to tranquility. It refers to harmony, concord, that genuine pleasantness that we can enjoy when things are going right. It's critical to gain a clear understanding of the word peace by looking in the scriptures. What do the scriptures say? You know, the first thing I do when I'm looking up a word like this, trying to figure out what it exactly means, is do a search of that word in the original language and find all the verses that talk about that particular word. And as you do that, we find several verses. We're going to look at all of them, but I want to read a few that I find are quite helpful. One of them is in John chapter 14. Why don't you just turn with me? We'll be in John for a little bit here. John chapter 14, and look at verse number 27. John chapter 14 and verse number 27. John 14 and verse number 27. Jesus here is speaking to his disciples the night before the crucifixion, and he's preparing them for his death and departure. And verse number 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." All right, so in this verse here, he tells us that we are to let this peace be with us and to calm us. It's the opposite here of troubled and fearful. He said, "I don't want you to be troubled. I don't want you to be fearful. I want you to have peace." All right, so we get a little bit of an idea of the meaning there. Now, John chapter 16, look at verse 33. John 16, verse 33. "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So Jesus here says that peace is the opposite of tribulation, troubles, problems, conflicts. So it's the opposite of that. So we're getting an idea here. It's the opposite of trouble and fear. It's the opposite of tribulation. Then in chapter 20 of John, look at verse 19. Chapter 20, verse number 19. John 20, 19. This is after Jesus rose from the dead. And verse number 19 says, "In the same day at the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." Now, why did Jesus say, "Peace be unto you"? Just a cool thing to say? No, they were terrified. I mean, you and I would be terrified too if you're in a locked room trying to keep away from the Jews that may capture you and crucify you, just like they captured and crucified your master. And then all of a sudden somebody appears in the middle as you're just talking there and someone's standing there. You would be terrified too. And Jesus said, "Peace be unto you." All right, so here we find this peace calms terror. Another example in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. Romans chapter 5, look at verse number 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Peace used here is describing the harmony that we have with a holy God. All right? To be able to be justified by faith, made clean before God, we can have peace with that God who was at enmity with us. He was at war with us because of our sinfulness. He was separated from us. Now we can have peace with Him. One last one. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 22. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. This is the verse that deals with the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 22. All right. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace." So here's one of the fruits produced by the Holy Spirit of God. When we are walking in harmony with the Lord, we can have peace in our hearts. So as we've seen just from this cluster of verses that we've picked out here that deal with peace, we see that it helps us to overcome. It's the opposite of trouble and fear. It's the opposite of tribulation. It calms terror. It gives us harmony with God, who is holy, and it also is a product of the Spirit of God working in us and living in us and working through us. So, peace. We see that Paul called it the peace of God. Back in our text there, Colossians chapter 3. All right. So he says there, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts." All right. So he's specifically talking about the peace of God. That phrase, "peace of God," only used one other time in the Bible. And that's in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 7. Philippians 4, 7, he says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." In that passage, he was talking about giving all of our burdens, our worries to the Lord. And the peace of God that passes understanding will keep our hearts and minds. So he says that it's a peace that comes from God. It passes all that we can really grasp and comprehend. And it is the peace of God. And so it's important for us to see how this is used all through these. And either the peace, you know, when we think about this peace, either the peace is the quality God gives us, or it is an example of God's peaceful quality. You just have to chew on that for a little bit. Either it is something that God gives us, He's giving us this tranquility, this calmness, this lack of trouble. It's something He gives to us in the sense of the fruits of the Spirit, of love, joy, peace, something that is welling up in us, something that is coming upon us, or we're able to share with others. But it may be that, or it may be the example of God's peace. The peace of God. The peace of God, so that we can see God is at peace. God is not worried. Remember when Jesus was with his disciples out on the Sea of Galilee and the great storm come up and he's sleeping away. He's at perfect peace. And they're frantic. They're afraid they're going to go to the bottom of the sea. And they wake him up and said, "Jesus, Jesus, don't you care? We're going to perish." And Jesus, God said, peace, be still. And he calmed it instantly, but he was at peace because he was in control. So there is the peace of God that can help us and calm us just knowing our God is in control. God is able to carry all this. God is able to carry this burden. God is able to help me through this. And so it's either one of these two, is it's a peace or it's something that God gives to us, that tranquility that God gives to us so we can cope with the problems, or it is us being able to look to God and say, God is a God of peace who is able to help me through this, and it'll be all right because my God is a God of peace. Throughout the scriptures, we find several times when he's referred to as the God of peace. Here he calls him the peace of God, but it's also in there the God of peace. He is a God who is peace. And several references to that in Romans 15:13, 16:20, and Philippians 4:9, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and Hebrews 13:20 all speak of the God of peace. The phrase then that follows this is important. Notice again in our text, he says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. All right, so he said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body. Now, he says here that we're to let the peace of God rule in our hearts, but then the next phrase describes the situation, to the which also you're called in one body. Now, as we look at this phrase, that's an important one because it goes along with, it deals with the peace, okay? It relates to this peace. And so follow along as we pull this apart so we can have a look at it, all right? He says here, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which. All right, the little word to is an important word. It's a word that literally means unto, toward. All right, so it's leading us in a direction. Let the peace of God lead us in the direction to the which also you're called. The word which there, you think, all right, now what's he talking about, this which? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called. And in that word, which is a word that can apply to different things. And you ask, well, wonder what it's applying to. And that's one of the coolest things you can do if you just, you don't need to master Greek, but you can do this with just your basic Bible program. If it has the Greek actually in there, you can look up this stuff. Actually, the word which is feminine. And so is the word peace. So in the verse, you can tell immediately it's referring back to the peace. All right? So it is the peace of God that he's referring to here. So as you look at that from that perspective, he says there that, he says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, unto the which peace also you're called in one body. To that peace. We're called to that peace. In one body, as a body of believers, we're called to be unified and have tranquility and have peace. Now, all of this needs to be kept in the context of the chapter. Now, what's he dealing with? That's why I went through in the introduction part and we talked about what the chapter's about. It's about getting victory. It's about focusing on eternal things instead of on earthly things. It's about putting away the evil, lustful things taking off the anger and the wrath and the malice and putting on the forgiveness and gentleness and kindness that God wants to put on. And he says, we need an umpire. We need a help for all this. And we need strength and encouragement and all that. And he says here that the peace of God, let the peace of God, a command here, let the peace of God, you must let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which peace also you're called. God called us to that peace. That is part of the Christian life. He said this is what God wants for us. He wants us to live in peace. And he wants us to have this peace. And he wants the peace to be able to rule in our hearts. So all of this brings us to the next thought. And I've skipped over that phrase, rule in your hearts, because the other two go together and this one here modifies it. He said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now that word rule is an interesting word. It's only used here in the Bible. It's the only time you'll find this word. And it literally refers to an umpire. It refers to one who decides, one who makes the rules or sets the rules or enforces the rules, directs one who controls. It's kind of a combination between an umpire and a coach. You know, there's the direction there, there's the guidance there, but there's also the umpire that is saying, no, that's wrong, this is right, and makes those judgment calls. And so he says that the peace of God, he says, let the peace of God be an umpire in your hearts. When you're in that situation where you say, you know, somebody attacks you and they are saying nasty things about you and your flesh is going, let them have it. Get angry with them and tell them a thing or two. And your spirit says, no, don't do that. That's not right. You need to stay calm and you need to treat them kindly and be long-suffering. And the peace of God is the umpire that says, behave yourself. Do what's right. Follow God's example of peace. Or God gives us that peace in our heart that just says, no, I cannot respond in that wrong way. I've got to respond in the right way because of the peace of God. So the peace of God works as the umpire. The peace of God is the peacemaker. The peace of God is the one who is keeping things together and keeping us going in the right direction. It's just like, you know, you go to sports games and, you know, there's every sports game when they play a game out here on the field and think they always have an umpire or a ref or something of that nature. And the purpose is to determine, you know, they're the umpire or the scorekeeper or whatever the case may be. They're the ones that officially says, that was a score, that wasn't a score, or that was a foul, that wasn't a foul, that was okay, that was wrong. And they're guiding and making those judgment decisions. And so it is, God says that peace is the umpire in our lives that says, wait a minute, that's not the way to respond. This is the way to respond. You know, it's almost like this peace here is almost like the Spirit of God personified. It's almost like the Spirit of God living in us, that He is the Spirit of peace that is keeping us going in the right direction. He's the one saying, no, don't do that, do this. And so I can see that there is a real possibility that it is referring to the peace of God, the Holy Spirit, who is almost the umpire in our lives. And the Holy Spirit is God, so that would certainly apply in this case. And he says here that he is, we are to let this rule in our hearts. Now, why does he mention our hearts? Our hearts. What is our heart? He's not talking about the thumper that's pumping blood. He's talking about the inner part of us, that our inner emotions, that part of us deep down inside that where we make those decisions, our emotional feelings down inside. But why would he address this? Well, I think it's because of what Jesus said there in Matthew 15. In verse number 19, Jesus said, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. All these things come out of our heart. So all the things that we want to do that are wrong come out of our heart. And God says that that's where it comes from. You know, when a person gets angry and swears, they say, oh, I don't know where that came from. Well, it came from the heart. It wouldn't come out if it wasn't in there. You know, so that is, God, that's what Jesus is saying here. It's that seed of emotions deep down inside. So when your spouse irritates you, your sinful response, your sinful desire wants to say, get even, retaliate, get angry, do that bad thing. And our spirit says, no, stay calm, be long-suffering, be patient, be gentle, do right. And the Spirit of God is the umpire, the Spirit, this peace of God. Maybe it isn't the Spirit of God, but it's certainly the peace of God, is the umpire there saying, no, do the right thing, don't do the wrong thing. And they're guiding in our heart, trying to get us to do the right thing and to guide us in the right direction. Not only our spouse, but, you know, you think about it, it's in every area of life. You know, you go to a sports game and invariably the umpire will make a decision that was a close call and everybody that's in favor of what he called for is cheering on, and the ones that are against what he said is booing him, and they're angry with him because, well, I don't like that call. And it's not an easy thing. I remember years ago, I was in my late teens, and we went to a church activity. It was kind of a multiple church activity, and they were playing sports, and they asked me if I would umpire one of the softball games. I said, sure, I'll do that. That's not as easy as it sounds. You're standing behind the plate there watching the ball come in. Strike. And they turn and look at you like, that wasn't a strike. Well, I call it a strike. So it's, and then, or when there's a close call, and one time I made a call that afterwards I realized wasn't right.
And then you try to change it, and you got both teams on your back. Because you can't change that. You said it was, and then, well, yeah, but it was wrong. So you got both of them fighting. It's not easy to be a ref. It's a tough job. And they got to make those instant decisions. But we have the Spirit of God working in us, and the peace of God working as an umpire, a coach in our lives to guide us, instruct us, and help us. And so God gives us this to guide us, but He's commanding us here. He says, let the peace of God rule. What does that mean to us? That means we don't always do that. We have a choice. Are you going to let the peace of God rule and say, do the right thing? Or are you going to say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do what I want to do. And we get angry and we get upset and we do the wrong thing. So we have a choice to be made here. And He commands us. So this is a command from God. This is what I want you to do. And, you know, it may be the boss is unreasonable, or the teacher's too hard, or the parents are too busy to listen, or somebody at church ignores us, and they don't say anything to us. They're not nice. We think they're angry with us, or we don't get our way. And, you know, there's all kinds of, it applies to all kinds of areas, and it applies to you kids as well as it applies to the rest of us. We all face these kind of decisions for things that irritate us. Something doesn't go our way, and we get uptight about it, whether right or wrong, we're upset about it, and we have a choice to make. And the peace of God is saying, I'm going to be the umpire, and I want you to do the right thing. The right thing to do is to put on these spiritual virtues of humility and kindness and mercy and meekness and long-suffering and forbearing one another, forgiving one another. But the flesh is saying, no, don't do that. Just get angry and tell them a thing or two and say a few nasty words, and that's okay. They deserve it. And there's that battle in there. And so God is telling us here, we need to make a choice, but He's urging us to make the right choice. Seldom will our irritated heart desire to respond in the right way. That's not our flesh. Our fleshly desire is usually to desire to do the wrong thing, not the right thing. And the peace of God is there to an umpire to settle the dispute, to coach us in the right direction, and to give us the encouragement to do the right thing. Now, as we apply this to our daily life, you know, we need to consciously follow God's peace instead of following our pride. You know, there are times when we're going to say, they can't talk to me like that. They can't treat me like that. That's not right. That's just pride coming up. And God's saying, no, stay calm. They treated me that way. They abused me. You just do what's right. The peace of God. Keep calm. So whether it's the peace that we're following God's example, or whether it's a peace that God gives us, or whether it's the Spirit of God acting as a peace personified, He's saying, do the right thing. Make the right choice. We must not let our emotions govern us. We must not allow our hearts to rule as the world says. You know, the world says, just follow your heart. That is not a good idea. Following your heart is a very bad idea. Because our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And we must ask ourselves some difficult questions we don't like to ask. Questions like, is this the peaceful response God would want me to make? Or, does this response reflect God's peaceful character? You know, the response we're preparing, or maybe the one we just blurted out, is it the kind of a response that God would want us to do? And it applies in every situation. It doesn't matter whether we're talking to our friends at school, or whether we're talking to the boss at work, or whether we're talking to our spouse, or our parents, or whoever. We need to have the right responses. And so He gives us this here. He says, let the peace of God be the umpire in your hearts to which you are called, to this peace you are called in one body. But then He goes on, He gives us the second command, and be ye thankful. And be ye thankful. The word thankful here is an interesting word. As you look it up, it refers to being grateful or mindful of favors that are done to us. It's actually a compound word. It comes from two words, one meaning to act well, the other meaning to be pleasant, agreeable, forgiving, gracious. So it's a compound word. So you put those compounds together and you get the idea of this word, thankful. It's not just a word that comes out of our mouth. It's not, I'm thankful for the nice meal. Or I'm thankful for that it didn't rain today or whatever. It's not just that. It's more of an action word than it is a verbal word. It's acting upon this. It's displaying thankfulness in action. It's displaying gratefulness by forgiving and being gracious in our actions. It's an active word. Now, the principle here that we need to notice is that in the context, being thankful is to work hard, to work hand in hand with the peace of God, to give us victory over the wrong reactions to irritations in life. Alright, so we're to be thankful. This idea of being thankful and working together with someone to help them, help us to make the right choice, the right decisions, and to be at peace. So there's just the right reactions here. And to be thankful, have that thankfulness where we're actually expressing thankfulness in the right way. Alright? Now, rather than focusing on the irritations of others, God asks us to help us to find something in the person's life which we can show thankfulness for. You know, instead of responding negatively, somebody says something nasty to you, one of the best things we can do is to be thankful for that person. Think about that person. Maybe it's your spouse. They've just done or said something that was not very kind. And instead of getting angry and upset, think about something that you can be thankful for. Don't focus on the thing that upset you. Think about something you can be genuinely thankful for and say, yes, I'm thankful for this aspect, this something that they did. I'm thankful for it. That will help us to have a right response if we find something about that other person to ponder. So, as we wrap it all up together here, irritations frequently come in life. We can't avoid that. That's part of life. You know, in every relationship we have, whether it's our spouse or our parents or our teacher or our boss or somebody at school or somebody down the street, or the neighbor, we're going to have interactions and people are going to irritate us. And when they do, we need to respond in a way that would please and glorify God. And we can't avoid all those irritations, but we can change how we respond. And God is telling us here, He's commanding us here, He says we are to let God's peace rule in our hearts, to be the umpire in our hearts, to help us to make the right choice. So as you think about this verse tonight, and as you ponder over it, I want you to just really dwell on that thought that God wants His peace to be the umpire in your life. How would God want me to choose? What would God want me to do? How would God want me to respond? And if we have a habit of responding in the wrong way, we need to say, God, that's not right, that doesn't please You, and let the Spirit of God, let the God's peace rule in our hearts and guide us in the right direction so we'll make the right choices instead of the wrong choices.